Guys, I can't even begin to tell you how exhausted I am right now. It's insane. I mean, you know the feeling. I know you've been tired before. I'm not the only one in this world that's been so exhausted, but what an insane week it's been indeed. But I am so happy. I unboxed my mic today because, you know, last weekend I moved and it was insane. Just the past week of trying to settle into my new place, but I'm so happy that I'm sitting on my bar stools that I just built today when I got home from work, and I'm just excited that we get to chit-chat together, and I'm excited to update you about the last week of my life and just kind of talk and do a little yap sesh about whatever I feel like talking about today, because honestly, it's been a week for sure. But happy Monday, you guys. Welcome back to another episode of Soulful Living with Megs. As always, it is so wonderful to have you here back for a moment of connection with me. It truly means so much to me that you take the time that you do during your week to spend a little bit of time with me. It makes me feel very, very grateful and very, very blessed. And I hope that you've had a wonderful week despite the smoke in the air, at least in BC. I know in Alberta you guys have it too, because when I used to live there, we always got the smoke from the BC fires, but the air quality hasn't been the best. And so I hope that despite the heat, despite the smoke in the air, that you've managed to have a wonderful week, a very restful week as well. And I just hope all is well in your world. Guys, why do I move? Why do I do this to myself every single year? I truly don't know what comes over me. It's funny because every time I move into a new place, I kind of think, oh, I'm so excited to have a full summer in Vancouver and I don't have to think about moving or packing. And then evidently I end up finding a new place to live and packing. And sometimes it was kind of beyond my control. Previous roommates moving, things like that, me being stubborn and not wanting to find a different roommate for the space that we were in and the amount that we were paying for. Anyway, I kind of do it to myself. I understand that I do it to myself, but I really hope that the seventh time's the charm and I'll be here for a little bit, at least in this apartment. I know I don't really want to live in Vancouver forever, but I'm hoping that I'll be here until I decide where I want to move in the future for sure. But this is, I just do this to myself every single year. On the plus side though, I had three of my friends come and help me move. Shout out to my beautiful friends, Brett, Han, and Shay, who were amazing day of. I mean, I could not have done it without them. Shay drove the U-Haul because I refused to drive a U-Haul van downtown Vancouver. And I actually don't have a vehicle here, let alone have actually driven in Vancouver, really. So I didn't really want my first time to be in a nine, I don't even know the size of it, whatever the little minivan is of the U-Haul. I did not want that to be the first time that I drive downtown. So she drove that for me. And then Brett, Han, and Che all helped me unpack and bring all the boxes and pack up the U-Haul. And it was amazing. When we got to my apartment, they kind of each took a room. So Han did my bedroom and unpacked all of my clothes for me and hung them up. This is a hack that I learned from Nat, actually. And her friends did this when she moved to her apartment, but each of us here kind of took a room. So I unboxed the kitchen while someone helped organize where the boxes would go for the bathroom, for example, like putting all of what was bathroom stuff all together, and then having Han unload all of my clothes and kind of organize that was amazing. I'm still trying to find stuff, which is super fun for me. Little scavenger hunt of where things are. But until I really have time to sit and organize a bit more, it's been, you know, such a tremendous help that they were able to support me in that way. And we unpacked every single box. I have zero furniture aside from my bed and then the two bar stools that I just got delivered today. And I put them together. Thankfully, it took about 5 minutes in total to build. Because something about me is that I'm impatient with a lot of things and I don't really like building furniture at all. I don't know that I've really ever had to, but I know that in moments where friends have had to build IKEA furniture or I've gotten things that I've had to build before, I don't do it. I just don't have the patience to sit and read the instructions. I feel like they're not 100% accurate. Anyway, there was only a few pieces to put together for these bar stools, and I'm alone, so I had to do it myself. Yeah, so I'm glad that those are together, but I have literally nothing in my living room other than my area rug, so that's super fun. You know, it's all in due time, and I feel like because today I don't really have a lot of structure for you, I do want to segue into talking about some books that I recommend because I do read a lot of books. And I've been on a novel kick lately for the past, I want to say, 2 years now, year and a half. Yeah, I would say 2 years where I actually am reading something every single night before bed, and it's incredible. And I love books now, but I want to talk about that. But I figured the fact that I have no furniture right now is a good segue into what I wanted to remind you of today, which is that we have time, because as I've been unpacking this week and kind of organizing after work and whatnot, I've been kind of stressed about, you know, I really want to get furniture so that I can have friends over and I actually can have a couch and a coffee table and eventually a TV, because whatever package I got for my internet includes that. And so I want to get all these things, but I also understand that I can't necessarily get all of them at once just because of budgeting purposes. And I want to be smart with it and not rush into a decision of what to get. Low key, these bar stools, I don't think that they were a rush decision, but they could be better quality. But I mean, I got them from Walmart, so what are you going to do, really? They work. They're functional. That's the most important thing. But anyway, I thought it was a good reminder, as I'm telling myself that, you know, you don't have to do everything at once because you have a lot more time than you think you do. And this isn't just about getting furniture items for a house. Obviously, that will all come with time. You don't have to get it. I haven't even been here for a full week. I don't need to get everything day one, let alone in the first 7 days. But I think life in general, especially in our 20s, we think that we have a specific timeline to achieve different things, or we have these goals from when we were younger about how our life would look at a certain age in our 20s. And sometimes it's discouraging if you haven't gotten there yet, for example, or you envision yourself either living somewhere or in a specific field of work, in a specific career, or again, like relationship-wise, having children at a certain age in your 20s, being married, things like that, and not necessarily having that as you thought that your life would pan out to be back in the day can be discouraging. But I'm here to remind you that your timeline is specific to you and that we don't necessarily have to follow the societal conditions that we are believed to follow. And you have a lot more time than you think. Just because you don't have what you want today doesn't mean that you can't start planting the seeds today and tomorrow and each day to come and take one step at a time to get to where you want to be. Now, that's not to say that I think we should just tell ourselves every single day, oh, we have time, and then don't do anything to accomplish. But I mean that you don't have to figure it out right now in this moment if you are unsure, if you're still questioning things. Like, this is what our 20s are about. It's the time to really explore different avenues. And I think at any age in your life, like, it isn't too late to try something, at least in some regard. And I know some people believe when they're a certain age, they can't really do something else that they've always thought about doing. But I think it is a shift in your mind of, okay, what can I implement in my life to take those baby steps to move forward into this specific direction? So not making excuses, because I always tell my friends that I envision certain things in my life happening, and then I get frustrated with myself if the result isn't the next day. And that's it's funny because, that's like working out. Before I started falling in love with fitness and health and getting into the shape that I'm getting into currently and going to the gym, I really disliked going to the gym. It wasn't super fun for me. I'd rather have gotten my exercise through dance or other physical movement of like a sport or something more fun. And I think partly the reason why I didn't love going to the gym was because I wanted the results to show in my body like right away. I feel like we always think that if, like after the first gym session, I'm like, okay, like where are my abs or where's the definition in my arms and my back? And it doesn't work like that, obviously. But whenever I talk to my friends about a specific way I want my life to unfold or where I see myself and the goals that I have, I sometimes get frustrated because I think, I feel like I've told you this before, like a year ago, and I feel like nothing has changed. But I think because we're so hard on ourselves, we can't necessarily see that there have been adjustments. Like if I were to sit on my ass all day and do absolutely nothing other than complain to you of, I want to change my life or I want to do something completely different than what I'm doing now in my field of law, but then do nothing about it, obviously, like not looking for other jobs or not looking for other creative avenues or not pouring my energy into something that I love doing in a passionate way, creativity-wise, then yeah, that's not productive. Then you could potentially be running out of time because if you just tell yourself that every single day and then not plant those little seeds, you're not going to move forward. But I do think we don't give ourselves enough credit for the fact that growth does take time. And sometimes these big strides that we want to make, it is about the little steps in between. And we can't go from step A to step C. And I know we've talked about that before for sure. But it's such a critical thing to remember because as we're in our 20s, we do feel like, oh my gosh, we have to achieve this right now. Where's the result right now? Or in my case, for this specific week, literally first world problems. Like I have a roof over my head and I'm stressing out about the fact that I was sitting on my living room floor because I have zero furniture. But, I have a bed. Now I have bar stools. I had a chair and a stool that I was sitting on, like I made it work and I don't need to have all of these things in place right now. Like that will come with time. So if you're in a particular point in your life where you feel overwhelmed of so many things going on at once, and or maybe you just want something to happen, you want something to shift in the next day, I just want you to be gentle with yourself and give yourself a bit more grace because I do believe you are making those small steps. You are planting the seeds, and that famous saying of, you plant the seeds and the next day the plant doesn't grow or whatever it is. You know what I'm trying to say? Like it doesn't fully bloom or grow the next day. This tree is not going to be full. It's not going to be at its greatest capacity yet. But each day you water it, you tend to it, you care for it, you take care of it. It will grow and it will get bigger and expand. And I think that we can apply that to ourselves in our life is that each day you take a small step forward, you're making a change in some small way, which will in turn create that ripple effect to give you the life that you envision for yourself. But you're not giving yourself enough credit for it. So I'm here to remind you that you absolutely can, and you are doing a fantastic job, and you just have to keep going and keep pushing. And just remember, especially now, you have a lot more time than you think. Take the time to plant those seeds in your beautiful garden. Let yourself tend to yourself. Let yourself take care of yourself the way that you take care of so many other people and things in your life, and just watch how that can transform your life. I do believe that if we just slow down, we take it one step at a time, one day at a time, we are able to look and say, wow, like I wasn't in this position that I am in now years ago. And for that, I'm so proud of myself for getting here. Like I am thinking as we're sitting here that I am grateful that I'm in this apartment. I'm grateful that I have a roof over my head, that I've made it this far. I didn't even know that I would be making it this far, being able to make this work and being on my own here and still living here. And it's just a testament to the tiny seeds that I was planting all along that I just didn't acknowledge. So I know that's within you too, because we're all human. And if I can do it, you can do it. I promise you, you can, you guys. I believe in you so much. And I just want you to believe in yourself the way that you believe in other people. And, you know, I'm talking to myself also when I say that, because I do understand that it is harder to believe in yourself the way that you believe in others and the way that you give so freely and lovingly to others. But I think we need to give that to ourselves a little bit for sure. Also, I love these little yap sessions that we get to have. I mean, I think we've only really done one before. I mean, let's be real, most of the episodes that I do have, I yap in them and go on some little tangents. But other things that I wanted to talk about before we get into some book recs, tell me why. Okay, I like AI. AI, if you're listening, I like you, okay? Thank you for helping. But there are some parts of AI that I really, really dislike. And not that I, back in the day, called a lot of places, because you know how your parents, your mom usually just like calls appointments for you or like calls to set up, I don't know, phone, internet, all that, you know how we have to be adults now and like we have to do it. But because I set up my internet, I had to call TELUS so many times. We had to reschedule an appointment like twice, and I had to call them to talk about my bill and yada yada. I was not a Karen, but I like really felt bad for calling so many times for sure. But I mean, I've never done this on my own, so I needed to figure it out and understand. But tell me why the automated system or AI, oh my gosh, it's so brutal. All I wanted to do was talk to a human. I wanted to talk to a representative, and it took me like 10 minutes to even get on hold to talk to somebody in person, because this AI lady is like, can you tell me a bit about your problem? In a few words, please tell me about your problem. And I was gonna lose it. I literally was getting so impatient. Yeah, I need to have more patience for sure. But it was so annoying because I knew that AI could not help me with this specific thing. Like, if I wanted AI to help me, I just would have gone online and done it through there. It was so annoying, but brutal. Like, why? Why do we have to talk to AI people before? You know what? Okay, maybe I get it if, like, some people call to just ask for hours for something or ask for the balance of something. It's like something simple that you don't necessarily need customer service or human to talk to about, because that would take so little of their time. But also, they need a job too. Hello, we're taking away their jobs. But I needed like 3 questions answered, like very specifically to my problem that AI could not help me with. And I needed to talk to a human. But it shouldn't be that hard to get connected to the humans. Like, anytime I said talk to a representative, oh my gosh, it just wasn't working. And then AI is like, did I help answer your question? And I was like, no, ma'am. No, you did not. Anyway, this is going to be hyped up, so I'm less tired now, apparently. I also was kind of chugging a Diet Coke. Probably not good at 6:44 p.m. I'd love to go to bed on time for sure. But I think that's all I wanted to chit-chat with you about, in the sense of updates and life and reminders that you have so much time, because you do. And you're just not giving yourself a lot of credit, and those little seeds that you're planting will create that beautiful garden of yours. It will flourish, these plants. They will grow. I promise you, they will grow. But I wanted to recommend some books, and I don't think I want to go into any synopsis, I think that's the word I'm trying to say, yeah, of each of these books. But I wanted to give you a list of some of the books I've read this past year that I really, really enjoyed, I resonated with at the time, and that I recommend. And maybe if you're looking for a specific type of book in this genre, you would enjoy it. Lately, I've been on a self-help book kick, and I was talking to my friend Kaya about this, actually, because she says that she has read a lot of self-help in the past and has kind of switched to fiction now, which I definitely agree with her and I feel like I need to do after this book, because sometimes I feel like when we're flooding our brains with so much information, I don't know if you feel the same way, but sometimes I feel like it's hard to retain, or it's just such, it's almost like choice overload where you're overwhelmed with all of this info that it's hard to remember when you have so much, and it's like then you kind of stress maybe even more about all of the things that you could work on. I don't know if that makes any sense, but sometimes it's just nice to be in a fantasy world or a fiction world in whatever genre that you're interested in, just so that your brain kind of thinks in a more creative way versus very logical of, okay, I'm retaining this information, I'm learning it, I'm trying to keep it in my head. But that's all to say that I love both types of books, fiction and nonfiction. I think that there are benefits to both of them, and most of these that I will recommend to you today are nonfiction, more self-help. But I do have a few fiction books, and there are some that I kind of want to start reading, and maybe if you have recommendations for me, I would love to hear them. In the realm of self-help, of trying to love yourself more or understand your worthiness, I have for you a few. So one of the books that I read this year at the beginning of the year was 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think. I feel like this is a common one. I feel like lots of people know this one. Amazing. And it is exactly what it is. There's 101 chapters, I guess you could say, and some of them are larger than others, but it was such a cool book. And right now I can't even think about any of the essays that I read, to be honest. But I just remember at the time that I really resonated with it. And I did think it changed my perspective on some things for sure. Another one that's really great is Worthy, and I don't remember if I brought this up before, but my mom actually bought this for me, and it was, I remember the author, Jamie Lynn Kerr, actually was the founder of It Cosmetics, which is really cool, and then she kind of talked about her journey of that, and then just understanding how we as humans are worthy and whole as we are, but then kind of going into the nitty-gritty of kind of maybe why we don't feel that way sometimes. And then there was kind of like some workshop exercises in the book, if you will, some think exercises that you could kind of jot down or just write within the pages of the book, and I really enjoyed that. But it was just a good reminder of our worthiness that is always within us and has always been attainable. We just don't really know how to bring it out of us at times, you know. Another really good one is This Is How You Heal, which is by the same author as 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think. I think her name is Brianna Weist, if I'm remembering correctly. Kind of similar format of the 101 Essays. It was basically every chapter is kind of something new. Sometimes it's like 20 things I wish I told myself, la la la, or just a smaller couple pages about like, read this when you're ready for whatever, or I don't know, very cool, easy to follow, and again, kind of changes the way that you think about some scenarios or situations that you may encounter in your life. Another one that I recently read is Things No One Taught Us About Love, and I really enjoyed that one too. It was a fairly quick read, but again, on the lines of feeling worthy and how to, again, kind of like things we may not have understood about love in the world and how we can kind of move forward in a way that serves us better. So I really like that one. Some other books that are good frames of mindset to kind of shift are The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. This one I love. I remember I started it last year and then I finished it at the beginning of the year. My mom pre-ordered it, and when I was home for Christmas, she got it like 2 days before Christmas, I feel. Anyway, she let me have it, so thank you so much, Mom. I loved it. It was so good. I just love Mel Robbins. I love her podcast. I love the message that she brings in the world, and I feel very grateful that we're alive at the same time that I can hear all of these words from her. in real time. It's just amazing. And her theory is so helpful. I mean, it is exactly how it says, is, you know, you're letting them. And so the book is all about how you just allow people to be who they are. And then the only thing that you control is how you respond. And so she always says, let them, and then now let me. So we can't, I know we love to control things, but we can't. And so how can we just allow someone to be? And then how is, what's our response based on that? And it was just, it was such an easy read to follow. And I highly recommend it. Again, more on the lines of The Worthy One, self-help in that way. There's like exercises in there of like thought exercises as you're just reading it. And it was so cool. Another really good one is The Shift by Tinks. I've probably talked about it before because you know how I feel about her. She is queen faux show. But this one was also a really easy read, and it was about like dating, it was about self-love, it was about love in general, it was about embracing independence. It was just so many things wrapped in this beautiful bow, and Tinks does a really good job of allowing you to feel connected to her in the way of you're actually not alone in this world, because she's been through so many similar things that we've been through. And throughout each chapter, she has these little shifts of thought. So it'll be more of a negative thought in some way. And then it's like, how can I shift it? And there'll be a little arrow. And then it'll go to, okay, maybe this is how we can frame the thought to become this. And I love the little shifts in there. I read it. Nat, Laura, and I kind of did a Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants with the book. And each of us had the book. Nat got it first, and then I read it, and then Laura read it. But I loved it so much that I bought a copy of my own so that I could reread it, because it's just, it's timeless. There are so many amazing shifts in this actual book, and such an easy read. So love it. Couple more here. The Book of Boundaries. I've talked about it in my boundaries episode. So good. And just, yeah, different scenarios of boundaries that you may encounter in your life and how to navigate them. And then these like red light, green light, yellow light boundaries of when to enforce a boundary, when to not enforce one. Super helpful. I feel like we could all do better setting boundaries in our life. A really cool one is Don't Believe Everything You Think. And this one I feel like is sometimes hard for us as humans, because when we think something, we believe that this is our perception of reality, and it is. Like, how I view the world is based exactly on how I think of it, but sometimes it's not the reality. So it is important to not necessarily believe everything that you think as fact, you know, as the truth. But it was a good thought-provoking book. I really liked it. Brought me back to earth and grounded me, and just reminded me that it's not just me here. Obviously, I know that, but just because I think something doesn't necessarily mean it is true. And it can be my truth. I think with every thought that we have, it is your truth. But it is good to question, like, are these thoughts productive? Is this actually what's happening in this situation? Things like that. But I really liked it. One that I highly, highly recommend, and I bought this for my friend Camilla, and it was so cute. I actually like tabbed the pages that I really resonated with to see if maybe she would resonate with them too. But it's called The Only Constant, and it's just embracing change. And we've talked about change before in a previous episode, so I think I did mention this book, but it was so gentle and heartwarming how this author was able to bring such a personal aspect to this book, but also being able to connect with her readers. And it was just a beautifully flowing book, and it was just, again, such an easy read. I felt very connected to it. I felt very heard, very seen, and also very loved while I read it. And so I love it. So I highly recommend it. I think that change is so scary, as we know. And I think the more that we embrace it and understand change, the easier it is to kind of accept it. This one I actually read last year, but I really enjoyed it. This is for the girlies, but honestly, I feel like men if you have women in your life that you're partnered with, this may be good for you to understand too, but it's called This Is Your Brain on Birth Control. And it's not a book to, I love how I said that I wasn't going into the synopsis, whatever, the general ideas of these books. I said I really wasn't going to dive in, but here we are. I guess I'm not going in too much detail, but this book isn't to say whether you should or shouldn't be on birth control, but it's basically giving enough, it's giving yourself information to then make a critical decision about your health and how you want to, what you want to put in your body. Because of course, as we know, like so many tests back in the day, so many things are tested on men, and there's not a lot about the female body that we know enough of, or there's not enough tests about birth control, for example. So it's very challenging to feel empowered as women because there are so many unanswered questions about our actual body, which is crazy. Our biological entity is just not studied enough. And I think we're getting better at it for sure, but I know that we have a long way to go. But it was really, really interesting about even how you attract a mate, if we're talking biologically, whether you're on the pill or not, how it kind of changes, the hormones in your brain changes. And it's so interesting. Anyway, I found it super informative, loved it. And yeah, just a good informative book on what happens in your brain when you are on this synthetic hormone that only women have. Crazy. Anyway, I feel like I heard that men were getting a birth control in some way, a patch or something. I don't even know. I don't know that I trust you guys to use it every day. Not sure about that. Anyway, the one that I'm reading right now actually is called The Body Keeps Score, and it's all about trauma. And I don't know if you have seen Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, but one of the moms in there, Michaela, she opened up about her trauma story in the second season. Anyway, she posted this on her story that she was reading this book, or it was a repost from somebody, but she, I guess, had recommended it. And I was like, immediately, yes, like I want to learn about what happens, how our bodies store trauma, because I know that they do. And I just thought it was such a good way to be informed. And right now it's pretty good, very heavy information based, but I do like it so far. And I hope by the end of it, I can kind of understand how, okay, if I'm feeling this type of way or holding this trauma in, like, what does that mean for my body and where does it sit and how can I maybe live through it and not harbor that energy? You know what I mean? Anyway, some nonfiction books that I have for you that I've read recently are, I read the whole A Court of Thorns and Roses series throughout the last like couple years. The first, second, and third were my favorite. I would say second is number one, and then the second half of the first book, so good. Second book though, oh my gosh, it's so good. I didn't think I'd like this type of novel, to be honest, because I'm not much of a fantasy person. I don't know, something about knowing that it's not real. I don't know, even though I was such a Twilight girly growing up, loved Twilight. But anyway, I really enjoyed it, so I'm glad that I read it. It was out of my comfort zone, and yeah, so if you want a cute little fairy fiction novel, I recommend that. A little bit of a sadder one, I read A Little Life. And that was brutal. That really broke my heart. So it's basically all trauma. It's all heartbreak. It's about four college students and you kind of watch them grow up and how they live. And yeah, very, very heavy topics. I don't really want to give too much away, but it was so sad and heart-wrenching for sure. But I recommend that if you don't mind more of a heavier novel. I was definitely crying in that for sure. Another one that I recently read was Hotter in the Hamptons by Tinks. It is her first fiction novel, so I'm really proud of her. It wasn't my most favorite, I will be honest about that, but again, it was a great, easy read, and I love when books, I'm able to picture the scenarios happening, and it was such a good visual representation. And I thought it was really cool. So I'm excited to see where her journey goes in her books, that her upcoming books, if she decides to keep writing. And I'm pretty sure it's becoming a TV series too, which is going to be so good. Yeah, it was a very good book for her first nonfiction. So I thought that was awesome. And then the book that I have on pause right now is another like fairy fiction, is same author as Akhtar, is Crescent City. It's a really thick book, and there's something about me reading at night with a really thick book. You know, I like reading the big books. When I get to the middle, I'm feeling good because it's even on both sides weight wise. But right now it's like heavy on one side versus the other because, you know, I'm quite only a few chapters in. But I don't know. It's hard. It's hard for me to hold it up. Anyway, it's so silly of me. But those are my book recs right now. I would love to, if you guys have any book recommendations for like true crime, or not even like real true crime, just like fiction, crime novels, solving things. I've never really delved into those types of books, but I'm super interested in starting them for sure. If you have any other really, really highly recommended self-help books, I'd love to know. You know, I could always use more of those for sure. I just love information gathering, super helpful. Wow, I can't believe we talked for as long as we've talked, you guys. Thanks so much for listening to me yap about my first world problems, about all these books. But I mean, I hope that you've enjoyed your little time with me. It again means so much to me. I really appreciate you. I think I'm going to take a bath. I might go into the sauna. I haven't used the sauna yet, and it's pretty big, so I'm really excited about that. But I also should organize more. I should keep doing that. Anyway, hopefully the next time we chat, I'll have ordered a couch by then. I'll definitely keep you updated. I also need a coffee table. I need an ottoman. I basically need things that I can put things on or in. Storage wise, don't have a lot of storage here. I also need $1 million, so that would really help. If someone has that, it'd be super great. Really, really help me out there. Maybe a TV too. TV would be nice, but you know what? Laptop is fine for now, for sure. Anyway, you guys, I hope that your week is filled with endless opportunities of joy and love and light. I'm sending all of that incredible energy to you. As always, I should have prefaced this at the beginning, but if something didn't resonate with you today, that's okay. Just kindly leave it out, but take whatever did. And I hope that you can take something positive and spread it through your days to come moving forward. And I am just so proud of you for the journey that you're on. You're doing a kick-ass job, so please give yourself some credit. And I can't wait to connect with you next Monday. And until then, bye-bye!